Welcome to Recalculating America, a program dedicated to small business in America. Recalculating will help you, the American small business owner, build a new business or help you to grow your existing one. Each week, experts will give you useful information about starting your new business, and you will hear from professionals selected to help you grow your business. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest and has many years of experience helping small businesses build and grow their businesses. Now he is sharing his ideas with you over the air. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money. He specializes in helping small business owners make their money work as hard as they do. Now, your host, Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins.
Well, good morning. This is Dan Perkins, and I'm your co-host along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating, a small business program dedicated to helping small business leaders increase their profits. We draw our name from a best-selling book which features contributions by more than 100 presidents, experts, and leaders, all of whom will offer you ways to grow your small business. Don?
So, right now, a lot of people across the land are thinking about taxes. And in that vein, we have a really special guest today. Dan, welcome him and introduce him.
Thank you, sir. Well, we have with us today Brian Ashcroft, Director of Compliance at Liberty Tax Service, one of the fastest growing tax preparation franchises. And we are asking him to provide some insights on allowable deductions, best practices for self-employed individuals who are filing taxes perhaps for the first time this year. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Don. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Just tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved in the company, and then we'll move on to the business questions.
Well, you know, as you said in the introduction, I'm the Director of Tax Compliance here at Liberty Tax Service. Just completed my, or in the middle of my 12th tax season. So been around a few of the tax seasons here, and I've got the privilege and the honor to work with and support nearly 2,000 small business owners of Liberty Tax Services across the nation.
Well, thanks, Brian. Let me start you off with a question that's with Don and I have talked about a lot with the election of Donald Trump. Do you think with the change in administration and a more business-friendly environment that you'll see an expansion of new businesses being formed?
Yeah, as we look at the new administration and some of the policies coming out, one of the things we're definitely long on is the administration's policy towards favoring small businesses and the creation of small business, and I think that'll create some tailwinds for us to continue to put more people into business for themselves and help them realize the American dream.
Well, that's an important objective. You know, I saw something recently where there's about a little over 18 million incorporated businesses in the United States today. And about 97% of those businesses have 50 or less employees. And interestingly enough, about 85% of that 18 million have employees count less than 10, truly small businesses. I wanted to ask
you. And that
you,
probably doesn't even count the small businesses that file on Schedule C.
Oh, I'm sure you're probably. I know it doesn't. These would be S and C corporations, limited partnerships, and limited liability companies. But you're right. Those people who are doing business on a DBA doing business as are not in the mix. Excuse me. you indicated earlier in the pre-show that you're a franchise organization. So we might have some listeners out there who are accountants or CPAs who are working for somebody else and might be interested in working for themselves. Tell us a little bit about your franchise model.
Yeah, so if, for those out there that are listening that are CPAs, one of the new exciting programs that we have is we have brought on CPAs that do work for many of our small business owners that do personal taxes. So it gives them an opportunity to tap into our network of almost 2 million tax returns. where small business owners come in and they need bookkeeping services or accounting services. And so we're looking for CPAs to join our network as small business owners that we can contract them out to assist those personal individual filers, where many of our franchise owners don't participate in that. So we can bring CPA owners on to assist in that process. And for just the professionals out there, we've got a program that will allow you to come in, understand and learn the tax business. And we've got a proven system in place that will put you in business and line you up for success and really set the groundwork for a very successful future in the tax industry. If you're just an entrepreneur, we turn entrepreneurs in all the time. As our founder, John Hewitt, says, he's created over 800 millionaires in the tax industry.
Wow. How do the people get in contact with you, sir?
So probably the easiest way is through email. They can email me directly at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, dot Ashcraft, A-S-H-C-R-A-F-T, at libtax.com. Or they can also go online at libertytax.com and hit the contact page, and they can certainly get to me or one of the franchise development assistants that way as well.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in now. For people already in business and who are facing taxes, what are some of the expenses and things that, Brian, you've run across that small businesses sometimes ignore when doing their taxes?
That's a great question, because one of the things that we notice all the time with small business owners is it starts with something very simple, and that's record keeping. The most common thing we see is small business owners fail to keep good records because they don't separate personal and business expenses well. As a small business owner, you're always on. You're 24/7 in your business, and sometimes it's hard to separate that. So some of the small things, like simply getting an account dedicated for your business and making sure to use that account as opposed to your personal account, helps you not miss some of those small deductions. I mean, we notice little things that people miss from bad record keeping, like subscriptions to professional publications or trade magazines, or even bank fees that hit their personal account. If it was on their business account, they could deduct those bank fees. And even things like business meals when they go out and don't realize it gets lost in the shuffle of their personal expenses. So separating some of those things out really helps small business owners find the deductions that they commonly overlook because it's commingled with all their personal stuff.
You know, let me ask you this question. The most dreaded letter people get is from the IRS saying, "Welcome, we want to audit your books." What are some of the things you can do to avoid an audit?
Well, unfortunately, there's not a lot of things that will help you avoid an audit. But what you want to do is just make sure you prepare a correct tax return and keep good records, because then in the case of an audit, it should be a very seamless process. While it may be intimidating and scary, the three letters that impact people and put more fear in them, it's not the DOJ or the FBI, but the IRS tends to make people quake in their boots because of the power that they have to garnish wages and impose penalties. But if you keep good records and you do an accurate tax return, you shouldn't have any fear when it comes time for an IRS to take a deeper look at your books and a deeper look at your tax return, because everything will line up and match.
Dan, do you have some questions for our guest? Because he's certainly answering some of mine. Dan, your mouth's moving, but we're not seeing you. We're not hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
we can hear you now.
Okay. Sorry, I don't know what happened. It's modern technology. Anyway, is there something hot that you're seeing that a lot of businesses, small businesses, are doing that's appeared on the scene all of a sudden that tax professionals are promoting to small businesses?
Well, one of the key items, and you know, everybody's talked a lot about the PATH Act that was recently enacted by Congress and went into effect this year, but it actually had some benefits for small business owners. One of the things that we see that's common that people took advantage of and some people are still missing is the Section 179 deduction, which, you know, in essence allows a small business to expense completely the price of an asset that would typically have depreciation over its useful life. And they actually included some of the previous stuff, but also expanded it a little to include off-the-shelf software, your business vehicles. Obviously, there's restrictions with that, but it is available. And then they've also got a list of qualifying property that you can expense fully in the year you purchase as opposed to taking the depreciation. That always helps the bottom line for small businesses when you can take that expense fully and show less profit and be able to reduce that tax burden. And one other one that I'll mention briefly that I wouldn't say is popular, but I think it would be a great solution for some of the small businesses that are looking to bring on employees especially, is the Work Opportunity Tax Credit. And it's a part of the PATH Act that was extended through 2020 that allows a small business owner to take a tax credit, which is opposed to an expense. This is actually a credit for the taxes that you might owe, so it's a direct dollar-for-dollar the reduction, but it is for a certain category of employees, and of course there's some rules and regulations that you have to follow with that. But if you hire a qualified veteran or a qualified long-term unemployment recipient, there's some tax credits available to small business through the Work Opportunity Tax Credit.
Can you, if I could follow up on that, can you give us a sense? I have a foundation that works with veterans, and I'm especially veterans in the VA hospital system, but they eventually hopefully do get out. I'm interested a little more in there seems to be a growing emphasis in the small business area of people wanting to hire vets. I've not heard of this particular provision. So if I'm a small businessman and I want to hire a vet, what kind of tax benefit is there to me?
Well, so this one's actually a fairly complicated tax credit just in terms of the way it plays out, because there's some pre-hire qualifications. You actually have to go through a process in the beginning when you hire the person. Then there's some work-related things. You know, I don't want to make it sound overly cumbersome to receive this tax credit, but most small business owners have an accountant or somebody that they work with that should understand and know these provisions. Mm-hmm. If not, you know, a shameless plug here, our Liberty Tax experts can certainly help if you need that.
But free commercial, when you look not, at not this, a problem, yeah, not a problem.
Thank you for that.
Is that a one-time credit or is it ongoing?
Yeah, so you can qualify, it, and it's got some limitations towards the amount of profit that you make or the amount of Social Security tax that you pay for that employee. That's where the credit comes out at.
Okay.
But it is a credit that you qualify at the beginning, and then there's some ongoing stipulations based on the number of hours they work and the salary they make and some different provisions in there as well.
Okay.
But it does provide some relief for the employer. And, mm-hmm. you know, the ultimate is to put more people into work for qualified
Absolutely.
Veterans to put them into work and folks that are receiving long-term unemployment to put them back into the workforce and give them an opportunity.
Well, we got about 95 million of those people out there.
So the pool is large.
Yes. Don.
Well, Brian, I'd like to ask you, how do you see the Obamacare repeal or otherwise affecting small business?
Well, if I had that crystal ball, I'd give us a lot of information. But, you know, as we continue to follow it, the one thing remains true, that the health care and the price of health care is going to continue to impact small business owners either through legislation that requires them to carry that, or just simply as individuals, they'll have to shoulder the burden themselves for the cost of the rising medical expenses that we're seeing across the country today. But we're hoping that the bill that comes into play will allow small business owners some relief, and it won't be overly burdensome or cumbersome. You know, at Liberty Tax, we think that while the law, the Affordable Care Act, was probably not in the best interest of the country, it certainly was good from us for small businesses, because it put the health care and taxes in the same playing field, and it made an intersection for those that allowed us to step in and become experts in the marketplace and the premium tax credit that you can receive for going through the marketplace to get your health care coverage. But it's really going to be interesting, and we've got a whole team dedicated to monitoring the policies that the administration puts in place regarding the health care, so that as these changes come about and as things become official, we'll be ready to digest that material and to put that out for folks to understand and learn about.
In short, you're saying a small business owner should not depend on his or her own interpretation of whatever changes come on, but should really find an expert.
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the things small business owners, they have a niche. They do something really well. And one of the things that really holds them back is when they begin to try to become an expert in everything that impacts what they do, and then they lose focus on what it is they actually went into business to accomplish, and they start chasing red tape and trying to understand tax laws or acts of Congress. Hire out, let professionals do that for you, and you focus on what you do as a small business owner and focus on the reason that you got into business in the first place.
You know, I'm a registered investment advisor, and I've been in practice for 43 years. And I tell people when they come to work with me, especially small business people, there's only two ways to legally make money in the United States today, and that's either you at work or your money at work, and you can't do both. If you're going to spend all your time running and growing your business, you're not going to have much time to manage your money. And you're not going to be an accountant or a CPA. You need to hire those people that give that expertise, because you're in the business of making money. Other investors and other people are in the business of helping you be more tax efficient. But speaking of, since Don raised the issue of Obamacare, let me go back and address another issue that's a hot topic this year, and that is the possibility of a, quote, major tax law overhaul. Are you expecting that the Congress will make some very significant simplification and changes in the tax law, or is that just wishful thinking?
So I haven't been around quite as long as you have, but I don't know if you can remember a presidential election or a change in the White House administration where tax reform wasn't on the ballot. And I think the last meaningful one we had was 1986. So
with Ronald Reagan.
When we talk about the idea of tax reform, I just point you back to the Affordable Care Act. I don't know if many people remember this, but that law was actually passed in 2010, and it didn't have repercussions or come into play until 2015. So historically, we don't have a fast-moving process when it comes to enacting laws regarding the tax and health care and things like that. It's a slow-moving process. And at this point in time, the tax code has become so complicated and so cumbersome, and there's also so many things that layer into the tax code, it would be very difficult to simply pull the rug out from under it and start over with some simpler type of tax return, especially I know there's a lot of buzz about postcard tax returns and things of that nature. But, you know, as much as the general population fears the IRS, I don't think the general population has a lot of trust in the IRS either, so I'm not sure they're going to take the IRS as the taxing authority, the enforcer of the tax code, and the collector of that all in one umbrella and say, oh, that's a good system.
But there are there are things that can be done, I think, without a major overhaul of the tax code that could be extremely important to the encouragement not only of business formation but the expansion of business in the United States, if they were to, one, reduce the corporate tax rate, and two, if they had a repatriation bill where the trillions of dollars that's held overseas by American corporations could come back into the United States at a much lower tax rate, we could see trillions of dollars pour back into the United States for businesses to expand and grow. And so those two things, can they be done without a major overhaul of the tax law?
Yeah. You know, in just the surface level view of it, I think both of those are probably more probable to take place in an overhaul of the personal income tax reform. Ultimately, right, if we can get some of the large corporations to move some of that offshore money back into the borders of our country and to reinvest that, we know that's going to mean more jobs. We know that's going to mean different distribution centers, different servicing agencies. And anytime you have those types of things, it provides platforms for small businesses to step in and provide a service or to meet a need that's now created by the infusion of that type of capital. And I think also the reduction of the business tax, while it could have some impact for the small businesses, it'll certainly help put more cash flow into the economy and continue to grease the wheels of our economy as businesses have more cash flow and begin to invest that back into their product, which ultimately creates more opportunity, which creates more jobs. And small business owners, when the playing field is grown larger, it gives them more opportunity to step in and find a niche for themselves and carve out a way to be a benefit and a value into the overall domestic economy.
Brian, we have about 2 minutes left. Donna, you want to ask something?
Yes, I wanted to go a totally different direction and ask Brian. I've had the same accountant for 37 years. As he says, we've grown old together. But what are the advantages of having someone like yourself and who works with you year after year, who knows your business? I often say my accountant knows my business better than I do. How do you address the questions like that, Brian?
Well, you know, one of the things I'll usually ask somebody when they come to me, I'll say, how often do you spend your time thinking about tax code, the tax law changes? When's the last time you read the Section 179 publication? And they're like looking at me with glazed eyes over. And I say, exactly. You're thinking about how to sell more widgets. You're thinking about how to make your payroll. I wake up in the morning in the shower thinking about the tax code, how it impacts different strategies. And so it's really just a matter of where people invest their best time, energy, and efforts. And so folks that are accountants and bookkeepers, they're spending the best parts of their day and the best use of their time and their thinking power on this particular topic, where small business owners are focused on, you know, growing their business, and rightfully so. So, you know, just like when you choose a doctor, you want to go in and get the full examination, but you don't like to do that a whole lot. So find somebody that you know and trust, find somebody that's doing a great job for you, and then commit to that partnership, because working together, you're ultimately going to get the best outcome.
Let me follow that up in our last minute here. How do you tell a person who's starting a new business, how do you measure success of working with an accountant? Or CPA?
Well, I think the measurement of any small business venture is going to be a return on investment, right? Are you getting the right investment for the time and the money that you put into starting it? And so when you meet with an accountant to see what your return on investment is, the same way you would measure when you go for investment advice, you know, what's the risk and what's the outcome of this? And so that frank discussion between you and your accountant on what's available. And then, as always, periodically, you'll want to get a second opinion on that. You'll run into somebody else that uses somebody. You'll bump it up to them. And a lot of water cooler talk, I'll put that in quotes, people that talk back and forth about my accountant did this for me or my accountant did that for me or my tax expert did this for me, you can go back and ask those questions. So as you see things that come across that may be beneficial, instead of trying to digest them, send those over to your accountant, send those over to your tax professional, and ask them that question to see how they respond so that you measure to make sure they understand and they're keeping up with things.
Brian, thanks for being with us today, and we'll put a link to your website on our website tonight. Don?
We've been talking with Brian Ashcroft. He's Director of Compliance of Liberty Tax Service. I certainly learned something, and I hope our audience did as well. Brian, thank you for being with us.
Dan, Don, thanks so much. You guys have a great day.
Thank you. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hate your old fax machine? You can now fax through email. Simply write an email, attach the document, and send. Works with all major email providers. Get rid of the noisy and expensive old fax machine and try Biscom's Cloud Fax. Our solutions are great for businesses of all sizes. Visit Biscom.com for your free trial. That's BISCOM.com.
Welcome back to Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful. Now it's time for Money in Motion. Dan Perkins is our resident expert in making the money you earn work as hard as you do. Here is Dan Perkins.
Well, Don, as we said with Brian, we've got a tax law that's going to be looked at. I think the pecking order now is to deal with Obamacare and get that done, and then we'll move on to potentially tax reform, whatever that means. Federal Reserve, since we spoke last, raised interest rates a quarter, 1%, but Janet Yellen said that she was being cautious about further increases. You might recall that when they did their increase last year, they said that they were looking for three increases in 2017, but they wanted to see what was going to happen with the economy. Now, at the Fed meeting last week, the Dallas Fed Research Department produced a paper for the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve, which showed that their estimate is that for GDP growth in 2017 to contract to about 1.2%. I think that data probably was collected during the fourth quarter under the Obama administration, and I don't think it necessarily reflects the increased in activity that's taking place right now in our economy. So we'll watch that. The quarter point in increase in interest rates is not going to help much in the cash management side of a small business. You're not going to see probably any significant change in the rates that you're earning in your savings account or money market account, probably around, depending on where you are, 0.1% to a little higher on cash. You can go out and buy a CD for about 1.25%. If you go out 1 year, and if you go out 5 years, you might get as much as 1.5%. So interest rates are still relatively low. Expect credit card interest rates will move up 0.25% because they're tied to the prime rate. And when the Fed raises short-term rates, the prime rate goes up. So that the small business person is going to find themselves probably paying a little more on their credit card balance. And if the Fed is going to continue to raise interest rates another 0.5%, 0.75%, 0.75% throughout 2017, then using your credit card to help fund your business is going to cost you a little more money. Mortgage rates are going to go up. With mortgage rates going up, commercial rental rates will probably go up. So if unless you have a long-term lease on your property, you'll also see that your rent may go up at the next renewal. Crude oil is around $50, $49, $50 a barrel. Up today, a little bit, as looks like, believe it or not, OPEC is considering, should they cut production even more? They desperately need to get the price of crude oil up to $60, and it's gotten to 54, has not gotten to 60. So look for gasoline prices at the pump to go up. I was in New Jersey last week, Don, and up in the neck of the woods where I was in Morristown, regular was $2.49, which is way up. When we got back to Florida Sunday, Florida was about $2.17, $2.19. So gas prices do wobble all over the country. So I would expect that with rising interest rates, you're going to see, for the small business person, probably increasing slightly a cost of doing business. But with the momentum that Mr. Trump is trying to build, perhaps an opportunity to do more revenue. So,
Dan, I'm gonna interrupt you, Dan, because I had an interesting conversation on Sunday with someone, and my question, I guess, is this: small business, especially, have a more positive attitude about what's happening in this world. Do you think
right.
that will have an effect on the economy more so than any single other event?
Well, as I said in the previous section, small business is truly the business of America. And 97% of the companies out of the 18-plus million that are incorporated in the United States have less than 500 employees. I think that there's a possibility. I think there's some degree of caution right now, Don, and let's kind of mix it and say cautious optimism. I think there are people who are interested in the possibility about starting a small business or going out on their own, perhaps more so than there has been in a long time, but they need more conviction that the economy is truly changing. So, with that said, I think there's still opportunity, and that's why we started our program, Recalculating. So I think we need to bring on another commercial here, and then we'll bring on our next guest. We'll be right
Don't
back
let
after
hackers
this message.
Get your data. Email is insecure and can't handle large files. Instead, use BISCOM's Secure File Transfer product. Military-grade security that's as easy to use as email, and it can handle attachments of any size. Visit BISCOM.com for your free trial and make sure your private communications stay private. That's BISCOM.com.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. It's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
So do we have our next guest, Don?
Absolutely.
This is Tom Hill.
Hi, Tom. This is Dan Perkins. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great.
You've been one very patient guest listening in. Good. Tom Hammond is Executive Vice President of Bolt Insurance Agency, and he's here to talk about property and casualty insurance, which many small business leaders sometimes ignore, much to their peril. But more equally as important, Bolt has an interesting new way of approaching it. Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Tom, tell us a little about yourself and your organization, then I have some questions for you.
Sounds great. So I started with in the insurance business 30 years ago and started with a large carrier, the Hartford, and was able to look at auto, home, small commercial across the country. And just about 7 years ago, ended up starting with boltinsurance.com. And really, our focus has been around distribution of products for personal lines and especially commercial lines for small businesses.
So are you a broker, or what is Bolt Solutions?
Yeah. Technically, we're an online agency, Bolt Insurance, but we also have a wholesale arm where small independent agents can also subscribe to our software. So we're really built around a software company that helps bring insurance products to the marketplace, either through face-to-face transactions with independent agents, but also online or direct, if that's the way the small commercial business owner wants to shop.
So I want to ask you what I think is an important question for the person who's considering setting up a small business. Much has been written, Tom, about the need to incorporate your business to create a a barrier so that if you have an S corporation, a C corporation, a limited partnership or a limited liability company, your financial exposure for the activities of that entity are limited to the capital contributed to the incorporation or the entity. But what is the role, or is there a role for errors on omission and liability insurance?
Yeah, it's a great question. And when we started Bolt Insurance a while back, we actually interviewed 400 small business owners about how they felt about insurance, what were they thinking. And I think everybody came forward and said, well, I understood that I needed to start an LLC as an example, but I was going to wait. I'm waiting now till my insurance or till my business grows until I think I really need insurance because I really don't have a business yet. The problem with that is you have the liability out there that's already there, and you're already exposed. So, you know, there's a bunch of statistics about 50% of micro businesses, maybe people or business owners with 1 to 5 employees are still not insured. And we like to say they're insured, but they're just self-insured at this point. They're using all their assets to insure. And part of the reason why is small businesses, like big businesses, get sued every day. So 1 in 3 businesses will be brought to trial or attempted to be sued. And what people don't understand is the insurance not only covers your liability in general or your property or maybe your employees, but it also helps defend you if some frivolous lawsuit surfaces, which can most likely ruin a business only because it'll distract you, it'll take you offline from running your business, and also it can be very expensive. And that's really what the insurance is there for, to help protect you.
So if I'm starting a new business and I've got it incorporated as an LLC, what is, in your opinion, what is the basic or the minimal types of insurance that small business person needs?
Well, it really goes through four. I'll try to be as generic as possible, but there's really 4 different levels. There's liability insurance, and then there's property insurance. So it all depends on your business type. If you're just really a landscaper and you don't have a lot of equipment, you might want just liability insurance as an example, to make sure that you're covered if you damage property. But if you have a large business with a bunch of computers, as an example, and you need property, there's something called a business owner's protection, which is liability and property together. And then there are individuals that are actually consulting. They're giving their opinions. They're actually providing services that are professional. And they need E&O, or what's called errors in omission, so that whatever advice they provide or whatever service they provide, even a beauty salon operator, they need coverage to make sure that they're not being sued for the advice or what their recommendations or services provide. And then in general, there's also, if you have employees, you might start a business right away and have employees. It's the law in many states, if not all, that you need to have workers' comp insurance at that point. So,
yeah.
Those are probably the 4 categories to ask about right away. And just before you're starting a business, there are policies that are $500 or $600. It doesn't have to be as extreme as people think from a cost standpoint. There are affordable small business policies out there.
Okay. There's we have the distinction in the United States as perhaps being the most litigious society in the world. So that, do you think that the idea of incorporating is a defense mechanism at all, or is it just something that people just do?
Well, I think I'm not a lawyer, but I think there's a lot of other reasons. I think it's important, and it's been, and depending on the business type, there are many ways to incorporate. But again, I would say you need to back up. It won't protect you from everything, but you need to, if you want to persevere in your business and not, you know, lose all your time and money and effort to something frivolous, that's where the insurance can back up the structure.
You know, we were talking about the 18 million businesses that are incorporated, and our tax guy was talking about there are a lot of just Schedule C businesses. They're not even incorporated. If you're a sole proprietor, you don't have any employees, you don't really have – if you're a consultant or you basically give advice, you might want to set up an LLC or whatever. But is there one thing in the insurance protection area that you think is a core policy that people need to own?
Well, it's difficult depending on the business, but if I had to answer that, I would say general liability is the first one. So general liability is core only because this is the one if you're stepping on someone's property to as a handyman to fix something or you're required to get a job. There's some states that require you to have a certificate of insurance to actually be in business or at a trade show or at a craft fair or anything like that. So that would probably be the first one you need to go after and get from a standpoint of protection and to be able to get more jobs in the future.
Okay. Don?
Tom, I'm going to give you a funny one, which is plaguing business owners in New York City. There's a man who is handicapped, and what he does is go around and find establishments that are not compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and then he sues them and wins between always with the same law firm, by the way. And he sues them for $10,000 or $20,000. And I'm curious. I know it's a specific case, but is there any insurance that covers something like that?
Well, that's what your business protection insurance would be cover if you're sued for something of that nature. And, you know, if someone is doing this and it's a cottage industry for them, that's why having insurance is important because you're going to have the backing of, you know, a lawyers that have seen this before that may be able to investigate it further than you know, maybe your local lawyer or the lawyer that you just are talking to about an LLC. So that's the reason why you want to have insurance to find those things and make sure that you're not being treated or sought out. I mean, that one has gotten a lot of press. There are others that are similar, and, you know, some are also around phone calls or faxes. I mean, we've recently had a client that started their business and sent out 1,000 faxes. One of those faxes went in the state of Connecticut to a fax machine that was not of that business, and they turned around and, you know, they have a lawyer, they run this business, and they ended up with a $10 to $15 million lawsuit at first. Of course, they want to settle for a couple of $1,000s, but it's that type of hassle that'll take you online, offline for months and really take time away from the business and why you started. So that's the reason why you want to have the base coverage at a minimum.
Both Dan and I think, agree with you. You need it. I sit on the board of a medical marijuana nonprofit here in New Jersey. And as you know, marijuana, it's legal, by the way, to raise marijuana, but it's illegal to sell it in federal law and depending on it. And we have been involved with any number of lawsuits involving any number of things. And it has been a learning experience going through working with attorneys for our various policies. And I keep saying to our chairman, thank God we have insurance because we could not have survived without it. But we were a special case. That's my lead into questions. What about nonprofits? People who develop nonprofits, should they also have these same protections?
Absolutely. I mean, there's our special policies associated with them, but it's, you know, every business has its ins and outs, and depending on the size, what's required. So it's definitely something that's there. There's also things for E&O and errors and omissions that would be important in categories like that. So that's another area for sure.
Tom, in looking at insurance, as we said earlier, there are a lot of Schedule C businesses. Can a small businessman who's not incorporated or at LLC or a limited partnership, can they get some protection out of their homeowners policy, and can they beef up their liability limits under homeowners?
Yeah, typically is not an easy question to answer. There are some growing endorsements on what we call a homeowner's coverage, and there are some, but it depends on the carrier. Some carriers have specifically written it out, and it really is important for you to understand that and talk to a professional about it, especially when it comes to auto insurance, if you're using your auto in business.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some other really growing policies on the personal line side that allow you to have a small office in-house. It allows you to have some liability coverage for people visiting, maybe your office if you're a consultant, or if you're actually a beauty salon operator with a chair, in your basement and people are coming over. So there are policies for that, very affordable, and you need to ask a lot of questions in the personal lines, because typically personal lines will accommodate some businesses, but depending on what you do in your business, you may be running the risk of actually excluding some type of including some type of exposure which you didn't understand. So that's why it's always important to talk to someone like an independent agent or someone that knows the insurance to make sure that whatever coverage you can get is going to cover where your business is and where it's going to go.
For our guests, we're talking with Tom Hammond. He's the Executive Vice President of Bolt Insurance Agency, and he's here talking about insurance in general. But also, we want to give him an opportunity. Tom, you wanted to talk about how your company is so unique and has an approach that people should know about.
Yeah, thank you. It's great. One of the things we see, especially with insurance, is 70-80% of the people who are shopping for insurance or trying to learn about insurance start online. And Bolt Insurance has a strong online base at boltinsurance.com. We try to provide as much information to the small business owner as possible. There's a lot of information depending on your business type. We'll profile exactly what you need and to provide some education about insurance if you have questions. But we also have licensed insurance professionals that are available Monday through Friday, and you can make a phone call and get any question you need asked or get a quote online. And one of the things that we provide in the software, we try to make it as easy as possible, is we're getting multiple quotes from carriers across the country. So that's like carriers like Liberty Mutual, the Travelers, the Hartford, and others. And the reason why that is so important, especially in small commercial, is that different carriers have different specialties, and depending on if you're a management consultant or you're a landscaper or a plumber or you own a craft store on Main Street, there are going to be different carriers, all good carriers, but everyone has focused in on a specific silo or an expertise. And the great piece about our development and our platform is it allows you to have one single input of your business in a small, smart interview and come back with multiple quotes immediately. So you not only get great coverage, but you get it at the right price.
So are you allowed to do business in all 50 states?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're licensed in all 50 states. And, the coverage has changed by state. And you may have a great slate of carriers in Illinois and not as many in Hawaii and Alaska, but we're definitely open and have most all of our products in all 50 states.
So with that, we've got a couple minutes left. I wanted to follow up on what you just said. There is a discussion, according to the president, in the healthcare proposal that he wants to knock down the state barriers. Now, I've been working in the insurance business as a consultant for quite a number of years, and I know that the regulation of insurance products, whether it's life, health, annuity, automobile, whatever, is regulated at the state level. There is no regulation except for variable annuities, which are or variable life products, which are securities, which come under the jurisdictions of the SEC. But there is no central government insurance oversight. If we think that we can, or if the president thinks he can go in and knock down the walls and allow cross-state competition for insurance, how difficult is that going to be to accomplish?
Well, as your prior guest said, you know, I don't have a crystal ball on what is going to happen with all this. And I'm not sure it's totally on the list when you talk about our line of business for property and casualty. I think it would be extremely difficult in a lot of ways. And part of the reasons why, I mean, if you know or don't know, that all the policies and products are filed at an individual state level, and they're all rated in different ways based on those states. So not only is it just open the license up, but you'd have to change all of the products through all the companies. So I would imagine this has got a long lead time in the auto, home, and small commercial spot.
Okay.
But the other piece on that is that, you know, we're insuring for perils, and those perils are different by region. So even if you broke it down and anybody could insure across the country, I can tell you we spend a lot of time, 20% of our staff's time, in educating them and specializing them in certain areas. So we have one group that just handles Florida alone. And, you know, Florida is definitely a challenge when it can come to weather, especially on insurance. And so carriers come in and out. We try to be experts in those areas and make sure that we can understand what's available, what products are there, and how can we make sure we can maintain the best coverage for the right price.
I find it interesting, Tom, that your reps can be licensed in every state to conduct business, and yet companies may be licensed to do business in every state, but there are restrictions of whether or not they can go from one state to the other on a different policy form. So there's a, as I said to some other people, there's a fiefdom there where you've got the state insurance commissioners who regulate what's going on in their states, and they allow the brokers to come in and be registered in state after state, but they control who can sell life products, insurance products, whatever, in a particular state. So I think that's going to be a challenge under Obamacare to make it more competitive by opening up the states. But anyway, Tom, thank you for being with us. Give us your website again where people can contact you.
Yeah, it's boltinsurance.com.
Okay. We'll put that on our website tonight, and we thank you for your time and your great insight, and we hope to have you back sometime in the future. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Well, Dan, we're getting down to the last five minutes of the show. Always a difficult time to cram everything in. But first, I'd like to ask you a question about you've been asking about Obamacare, about all of the President Trump's efforts. What is the one single area that you would like the president to address and get it accomplished in the next 6 months?
Wow. Well, obviously, I would like to see our healthcare system, as one person said, if Obamacare was such an abomination, why can't we just go back to where we were before? And I think that the stuff that I'm seeing out of the House is not as close to what Mr. Trump wanted to do as many people thought, myself included. I don't know what's going to happen. There's a vote tomorrow, or Thursday, excuse me, a preliminary vote out of the House. And a lot of people say it's going to be a telltale vote. Now, they'll send a bill. If it passes, they'll send a bill to the Senate, at which time the Senate will then draft its own language, have its own hearings, and build its own scenario. And then we'll have a conference committee between the House and the Senate. Whether we can get Obamacare replaced this year, I don't know. It's already the middle of March. And I saw recently the calendar of when the Congress is going to be in session over the next 12 months, over the next balance of the year. Believe it or not, there aren't a lot of days that the Congress is going to be in session. So I don't know if they can do that. I think, however, from an economic standpoint, the most important thing that the Congress can do is pass tax reform. And it may be just as difficult to do pass reform as it is a tax reform as it is Obamacare. But as our guest said when we were talking about taxes, there hasn't been any significant tax reform since Ronald Reagan in 1986. We need it. We need it better than we have. And we need to do something about getting that money back, make our corporations more competitive. So both are very important to me. But I think in overall importance to where we're headed as a nation, I think tax reform is the most important thing I'd like to see done in the next 6 months, sir. And you?
Well, I'm going to say something totally different, which is regulations. I think particularly in the small business area, someone told me that in the Obama administration enacted more regulations than the entire that had been enacted in all of American history since the Declaration of Independence. And I didn't believe it at the time, but I was talking to an NYU professor over the weekend who's doing surprisingly a study on that. He's at the Stern School of Business. And he said, based on his preliminary analysis, it was true. There were more regulations enacted, particularly in the last 2 years, than in any time in American history. And a majority of them, he said, surprisingly affected small business more than any other part. So if you wanted to ask me, based on that and based on my own feeling, I think what I'd like them to do is just to start unwinding many of these regulations and let us going back to a little bit more freewheeling economy so that we could get on with the business of doing business rather than of reporting to the government.
Well, I would follow that with a question to you. I know that the president's issued an executive order, and he said that any new regulations can only be implemented with the elimination of two other regulations. But, you know, if these executive orders and these regulations issued by the bureaucrats have the effect of law, and there's a bureaucracy involved in and everything else, you just can't say, well, we're not going to do that anymore. It seems to me that there are other issues involved with eliminating those regulations.
I agree, but we have to do it. Small business in America are simply being strangled by regulation, and I think we've got to get away from it. We're getting close to the end of our time together, Dan. You have about 30. You have about 60 seconds left. Take the 30 that we have left before our intro and tell us how you feel about today's program.
I thought that we provided a lot of great help today. I also believe that the thing we want to watch is the Supreme Court nominee who will be continuing hearings. He did his opening remarks yesterday. And with that, I see we're out of time. So this is Dan Perkins.
And Don Mazzella.
And we'll see you next week. Did you play the close?
No, I'm going to have to get Dan. It sometimes.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's show was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, for past shows and special offers. And until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success.
So what happened?
Don't know. I do know it did not play. Sometimes it plays and sometimes it doesn't. I've got to figure out why. I wanted to go in at 20. I'm sorry. I'll get Dave to fix it for the other. But
when you set up the board, mm-hmm. when you first sign on at 9:45,
mm-hmm.
do you see the intro, the commercial breaks, and the outro?
Yes, see it all the time.
So they're there in sequence. It's just a matter of you having to push a button to play.
Right. And then, for instance, on the first one, the first commercial, I pressed it and it didn't work. That's when I went to the second commercial. And then I managed to hit the first. It just screwed up. It won't happen again.
Is there a way when you come in at 9:45 and the board is loaded with the intro, the commercials, and the outro, you can test them to make sure that they're working?
Yes, I will do that the next time.
That way we know that it's going to work. And I think the one criticism was that there was a lot of dead space between the commercial breaks and coming back, and then obviously the dead space at the end, almost 20 seconds. From the time you push the button, how quickly does the spot or the commercial load?
It's usually instantaneous. It should have worked, but it didn't.
Okay.
Now I'm also going to send. I taped the program as well as you did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send it to David to test it out.
Okay. I will. Okay. Too. I'll send mine to David.
Okay. And.
All righty.
Are you? We're set for Tuesday. Tuesday. Don't forget, we have BizCom president as a second one.
Tuesday?
Thursday.
Okay. That's fine. I can do that. I'll do that.
Okay.
And that's it. And we're going to, again, just call in at 9:45 and be
Correct.
Ready to go. And we're going to have two guests on Tuesday.
Yes. They're
okay.
all set. We also.
All right.
But now we also got to look at Scott. I thought his message was pretty interesting. Let's reconvene at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I can do that. 2 o'clock's fine.
Tell him we'll both look at it and we'll have time to think, digest it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll see you at 2. All right.
Got it. But not on. You want to do it on Skype?
I don't care. Whatever you want to do.
Well, let's do Skype. I'll come down and we'll do Skype.
All right. Super.
Talk to you.
Bye.